Sling Stones, a podcast with insights for the Christian journey. And now your host, Terry Wardle.
As we begin today, I want to remind you that if you're in the Colorado area or any of the surrounding states, I'll be doing the Identity Integrity and the Awakening of the True Self seminar. That's going to take place October 11 to 14. It'll be at New Life Church in Colorado Springs. Looks like we have a great crowd coming. Our capacity is only 107, and I think right now we have 97 people signed up. But if it's something you would be interested in, we'd love to see you there. So this past week, I had the opportunity to spend some time with a friend here in Colorado, a good brother in the Lord, and we talked about a variety of topics, but eventually it came around to the issue of evil supernaturalism. And he wanted to talk about the presence of darkness in our world and my feelings about things such as deliverance and the impact of the evil one on our lives. I think all we have to do is to look around a little bit and what's happening in our world, and we can see that the influence of darkness is having a profound effect on the world. And so what we want to do is to begin to take this issue very, very seriously, the whole idea that the evil one seeks to impact what's happening in our world. I think it's important that we're not reluctant to talk about the nature of evil supernaturalism. In Ephesians chapter 6, Paul was very direct and said that we need to know how to keep strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might, because we have an enemy and that this enemy is unseen. He said that the enemy is real. He also talked about layers of the enemy's presence. If you remember, he talked about principalities, powers, authorities, forces, and that all of this is aimed at deception and seeking to destroy the light that is in the world, what God is doing, and with particular aim at God's people. Now, I want you to recognize that if you're a follower of Christ, the evil one doesn't sit on the sidelines and not bother you, but instead we become part of the very strategy of the evil one to bring us down because we follow our Lord Jesus. You know, there's a teaching out of Nehemiah that can be instructive at this point, because when they were rebuilding the wall in the story of Nehemiah, the Bible tells us that a lot of people rose up and began to oppose them. And Nehemiah instructed those rebuilding the wall to learn how to work with a sword in one hand and, if you will, a hammer in the other. And he said, we want to put guards at the low places in the wall. Boy, there's some metaphorical wisdom there that we need to begin to apply to our own lives. You see, if we're not aware where we're vulnerable, where the low places in the wall of our own lives are, then all of a sudden, the evil one can really wreak havoc in our lives in these areas. Where are we most susceptible to temptation? Where are we still struggling with weakness? Where are the lures of the evil one cast in our way so that we will be attracted to them? See, this is a very important thing that we're dealing with here, this topic, that we want to make sure we have a great recognition of the fact that we live in a world where there is the presence of evil. We see it all the time in what's happening in our world, in our nation, and how do we then position ourselves to be able to, well, stand strong in these times? You know, I was meditating this last spring on 1 Corinthians chapter 16, and there's a section there where Paul talks about the fact that God opened lots of doors for ministry for Paul. But one of the things that Paul said was that as those doors began to open, there were many that rose up to oppose him. That reminds me of something. A long time ago, when I was doing my studying at Fuller, I had the opportunity to study with an Episcopalian priest, a great man of God. His name was David Watson. It was one of the best classes I ever took in seminary. And David Watson made an interesting statement that where God is at work, Satan is equally active. Now, that doesn't mean that Satan is equally powerful, but it does mean that Satan is equally active. And what this scripture is telling us is that when we are seeking to follow hard after the Lord, when we are wanting to be faithful to Christ, that often the evil one will then really focus in to raise up opposition in our lives. So as I began to think about this, I thought about Jesus. Certainly, Jesus was the light that came into the world, but we do know that darkness suppressed him, was seeking to put out that light. And so Jesus faced opposition. And I began to think about, well, where did opposition come from in Jesus' life? Well, certainly there was the direct opposition that came from the evil one. We see that in the story of Jesus going into the wilderness. But then look at some of the other things about Jesus' life. Early on, it was Herod, a king that opposed Jesus. And then members of his own hometown that didn't believe in him and that pushed back at the ministry of Jesus. We even see that his family opposed him. At one point, his mother and his siblings thought that Jesus has lost his mind because of the degree to which he was moving out in this ministry and gathering disciples. They thought there was something wrong with him. And there were cases where his own followers sought to oppose what Jesus believed the Father was wanting him to do. And of course, there were religious leaders that were doing likewise. So what we see here is that the various relationships of Christ's life, from intimate family to friends to the community around him, became vulnerable to the evil one's attempts to use them to oppose Jesus. I think there's a couple lessons in this for us. The first lesson that I think is a very good lesson is that the evil one will use anyone and anything to try to get us off course or to discourage us or to distract us. It doesn't mean that these individuals are evil at all. It means simply that in a vulnerable place in their life, they've been able to be used of the evil one to try to get at us in a vulnerable place in our lives. And I think the Lord wants us to see that. So could it be that our own family at times could be used of the evil one to oppose what we're doing, to make life more difficult in terms of our walk with the Lord? Well, Scripture would say absolutely. Anything that the evil one can use, and anyone he will, to try to attack us at the places of our greatest vulnerability. That's why it's important for us to be aware of our greatest vulnerabilities. Where is the low place in the wall? Now, I happen to believe, because the Lord's been doing it in my life, that if we would pray and ask the Lord to show us where there are vulnerabilities, His Holy Spirit will. And we can begin to ask the Lord to help us deal with these areas of vulnerability that place us in a compromising position with the evil one. So here's the first thing I think we're learning about opposition that we see in the life of Jesus. It can come from anywhere and anyone. But here's the second principle. Jesus was able to always see beyond the person or persons being used and know that it was the evil one that was at work. Like Paul said in Ephesians 6, we can't always see the evil one, but he is at work. But Paul would say to us that our focus should not necessarily be on the persons who are opposing us, but the presence of darkness, the evil one, demonic powers behind individuals. This is one of the things that we really want to pick up on, that we shouldn't be vilifying human beings, because when we vilify human beings, we're really missing the key point. And the key point is that the evil one wants to rise up to oppose us. Now, I believe that Jesus was very secure in his identity. And soon on our podcast, we're going to talk more about the whole idea of identity security and why that's so important to us. Jesus was certainly secure in his identity. Therefore, he didn't allow opposition or difficulty to compromise what God had called him to do. He wouldn't conform, you know, his agenda to meet other people's anxieties, but instead, he was able to stay connected to the Father to stay faithful to what God was doing in order that he could be focused on God's work in his life and God's work through his life. Okay, so that's a good lesson for us, that as we're on a pilgrimage and we're seeking to grow more in the Lord, that there can come times in our spiritual formation where we face serious opposition, opposition that can come real close at home, and that we need to remember that there are layers to the evil one's approach to us, and that Jesus wants us to stand strong in those days in his strength and in his power. And also, stay focused on the fact that even when individuals are opposing us, God loves them, and therefore we should also. So let me come on the way back to 1 Corinthians 16:13. So in 1 Corinthians 16, Paul says that God opened doors for him, but many rose up to oppose him. And then he went on to give some instruction to the church of Corinth about how to face into what the evil one seeks to do. So let's look at some of the phrases that he used. The first thing that Paul said is, be on your guard. Be on your guard. A number of years ago, I was impacted by something that Greg Boyd had written, that he said, every day we step onto a battlefield, and we must remember this is a battlefield. We can't see all the players that are on the field, but there is a battlefield. And so we should be on our guard. Peter wrote in his first epistle in chapter 5 that the evil one prowls around like a lion seeking people to devour. That means that he's the cosmic predator. And I believe that anyone that names the name of Jesus and seeks to follow Christ is vulnerable at that point. Maybe some of the difficulties you've been facing recently are not just circumstance, not bad luck, but in fact, the efforts of the evil one of opposing you in the areas of your vulnerabilities. Now, in this passage in 1 Peter, Peter went on to say, be humble, be alert, be sober, and resist. And so you look at some of these words, be humble, the recognition that we are broken human beings and that there are vulnerabilities within us, and that's why we need a Savior. And so we got to set aside pride to be able to say to the Lord, we need you, Lord. We need you to show us your strength. You need to show us where we ourselves have weakness and a vulnerability. He says also, be alert. Be alert. Keep your eyes open. Recognize that it can come from any place and any angle. And then he says to be sober. This is serious business. The evil one is seeking to bring people's lives down. And then the final thing that Peter says is resist. Don't let him run over you, but take your authority and move forward. Now, there was this ancient warrior that wrote a book that is quoted quite a bit. His name was Sun Tzu. And there are a couple statements he makes that I think are important for us. If you know the enemy and know yourself, you need not fear the result of 100 battles. If you know yourself but not the enemy, for every victory gained, you will also suffer defeat. If you know neither yourself nor the enemy, you will be defeated in every battle. So it's important to us to know the tactics of the evil one and also know where we are vulnerable and where we are strong, where we need to hold that sword in the low place in the wall of our lives. The other thing that Sun Tzu said that I think relates to this conversation is you have to defeat the enemy before the battle is fought. It's very hard to do when you're in the midst of it. You want to defeat the enemy beforehand. And how do we do that? By letting Jesus form our lives, strengthen us in him, draw in deeper intimacy, spend time experiencing God through prayer, through the word, through worship, through meeting with other believers. And when we do, it strengthens us. It gives us, if you will, a spiritual power that can help push back the evil one. So in 1 Corinthians 16, Paul says, be on your guard. The second thing Paul went on to say is, be firm in the faith. Be firm in the faith. Now, what he's saying there is not be firm simply in all the concepts and rules and regulations that are in your head regarding Christianity, but be firm in your faith that the cross has defeated evil. This is another statement that Greg Boyd made, that the cross was first and foremost for defeating evil, not saving the individual. That's part of what the cross is about, but it's about the fact that Christ came here to defeat the evil one. And you want to be strong in your faith about what Christ has done. Look at Colossians chapter 2, where it talks about the fact that Jesus made a public spectacle of these powers, and that we want to have faith in that. We want to count on that. So what we're seeing is that we're on our guard, many different faces of the evil one through many commonplace situations that come against us, and be firm in the faith. The next thing Paul said is be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous deals with the fact that we got to recognize that we have authority in Christ, that Jesus saw healing and deliverance as acts of war, as that Jesus saw leading other people to the kingdom as an act of war, and that we need to be strong in the authority that is ours because of that. We can't allow the evil one to run straight up over us, especially when we are wearing the name of Jesus and we've been anointed by him. Do you remember back we talked a few weeks ago about what Paul said in 2 Corinthians, that we are anointed, that we are marked, that we have a guarantee in our hearts of the Holy Spirit, that all the promises of God are yes in Christ. We want to hold on to those things and remember. So that's part of being strong and courageous. So again, what does Paul say? He says, look, you're going to face opposition. As you grow in the Lord, this opposition will come from a variety of sources. And the evil one is often behind it to destroy and discourage our lives. So be on your guard. Watch for him. Be firm in the faith. Believe in what Christ has done. Be strong and courageous to press out against the evil one. And then the final thing that Paul said in 1 Corinthians is do everything in love. Wow. Isn't that the gospel of the kingdom? The gospel of the kingdom is not about judgment. It's not about cutting other people off. It's not about condemning others. It's about love. Learning how to love our enemies, learning those that have oppressed us, loving those that have been oppressed. I'm really interested, and I'll be talking about this sometime soon, that one of the last questions that Jesus ever asks is the question to Peter, do you love me? And I think one of the things we want to recognize by that question is Jesus was saying to Peter, the motivation for your life and ministry needs to be love. Love like we see in 1 Corinthians 13. And so I know I need to be wakened up at times to the fact that, well, this is a battleground, and not be afraid to talk about the issues of evil supernaturalism. Now, if you're listening to this podcast, you're probably an individual on a journey with Jesus Christ. And on that journey of Jesus Christ, you are growing. You're probably having an impact on other people. But at the same time, you're going to be facing opposition from the evil one. Okay, I encourage you, go to 1 Corinthians chapter 16. Look at this section where Paul says, God opens many doors, but many will rise up to oppose. And often that many is not coming from bad people, but vulnerable people that the evil one uses to come against our places of vulnerability. Let's ask the Lord, where are those places of vulnerability? Where can we grow? And I believe we'll see great change happen in our lives. Look, all we got to do is look at the news and see all that's going on. It seems like people are sowing to darkness. The amount of disrespect and evil that's happening in the world it's mind-boggling. But it also could be, for some people, discouraging. Let's instead take the stance that Paul gives us here. Let's be men and women that really are able to stand against the evil one. Be strong and be courageous. Hold firmly to the faith that is ours in Christ, and then love well. Well, may God bless you. I hope you're doing well. May you remember always that God's face shines upon you, until we meet again.